can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Oscar Talk with Chris Tapley of In Contention and Ann Thompson of Thompson on Hollywood. And today we are joined by IndieWire's Peter Kinect.
Thank you.
I just have way too much fun doing it. I'm sorry.
It's the best pronunciation outside of my family.
As I said, of IndieWire, and it's a good time to have him on because of the Gotham Awards and the Indie Spirit nominations earlier this week, which we'll be getting to that in a moment. But, well, first of all, how you doing, Peter?
I'm not bad, other than Gotham Spirits, Sundance lineups, MBR today. It's been 72 hours of a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet. How about you, Ann?
It's been brutal, I have to say.
Yeah. And then the National Board of Review was taking its time getting around to that announcement, which is, I think, what we're going to start with today. Thoughts?
They left some significant films out. It's kind of interesting to sort of, who are they and why do they vote the way they do? And I interviewed them and discovered that they've changed the makeup of the group from about 110, what I always thought was sort of New York-based academics and educators. Now they've added filmmakers, young emerging filmmakers, and film students who have won their awards. That's like 50% of the group. So it's sort of hard to just say, well, they're old folks or something.
They added this year?
In the last year, a couple of years, they've been boosting their membership considerably with younger voters who aren't the same makeup as the older voters. It's like a very interesting split, you know, if you have, you know, students and filmmakers, and then you have teachers and educators and academics.
I was just going to say this was the first year, I think, since 97 that the director and film matched up, and they clearly loved The Social Network. So that's interesting to me that they've been pumping in a younger voice, because I think obviously a younger voice would take to The Social Network.
No question. But the omission of Black Swan and 127 Hours is sort of interesting, because you can't just say, oh, well, they're old fogies. Those movies were too intense for them. I mean, it's not that simple.
And I think it's fishy. I think it's a Searchlight situation.
Like, and then there's Focus got left out with The Kids Are All Right, although Somewhere did well, surprisingly well. What is that about? You know, and Rabbit Hole on the way back got left out, but that's not, you know. And then Sony Pictures Classics always does well. They always give them something.
Yeah. What do you think, Peter?
I'm also really confused, more than anything, of this 10 independent films list that left off some of the films you noted. Also, Blue Valentine wasn't on there.
Right.
And what makes them put things in there and put things in their normal top 10 list? I mean, Winter's Bone is not in the independent film list. It's in the normal film list or whatever, the regular. And so is Another Year. So is The King's Speech. I mean, those technically are independent films. And then you get the independent film list, and there's stuff like The Ghost Rider, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, sort of like a $45 million production. It's very sort of strange
sense.
The way they do it. I don't get it at all.
Well, it also indicates perhaps that they don't really, I'm sorry, but they're not, they haven't figured out what the criteria are for these different sections, you know?
Well, can we frankly say the same thing about the Indie Spirits?
Well, I'm creating six categories for Best Actress so that they can include, you know, Michelle Williams, and then not creating six for the Best Actor. I mean, that there's just something very strange about that.
And they didn't explain why they created the six. They just said in an unprecedented move. But they didn't say it was because of a tie or for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, every year I look at that slate of, and we'll get to it in a minute, the Indie Spirit nods, and it's just, there's a whole section of independent cinema that's being left out.
And where are the budget cutoffs really now?
Yeah.
You know, that's always been an issue. And then they have a strange, you know, it's all American, so the King's Speech is included in the Best Foreign Film.
Right.
Which is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just looking back over this, Jackie Weaver, some help for her cause, maybe. I don't know if.
And Leslie Manville, which is,
of course,
you know, she needed that help.
She did.
And Jennifer Lawrence, which is great for Winter's Bone. By the way, I just have to say, one of the movies that came out of this week with incredible momentum, after the Gothams and after the Indie Spirits and everything, is Winter's Bone.
Yeah. Well, naturally, I think the independent award circuit was going to boost that considerably. And
a breakthrough, I think the critics could too later. You know,
a breakthrough performance award for Jennifer Lawrence is also like a no-brainer, it seems.
But oddly enough, she did not win that at the Gothams.
Yeah, that was the one that it missed. Who won
the Gothams?
It?
Were helping this other. What was the name of that
Daddy
guy
Longlegs.
I've never heard of?
Ronald Bronstein from Daddy Longlegs.
Have you seen that film, Peter?
I have not seen that film. Sorry, no.
And?
Apparently, no one has.
Wow. I should check it out. One of my writers, Chad, actually is a big fan, so I need to see it. Well, let's talk about the Gothams then. You were there, right, Peter?
I was there, but I was in a backstage press room, which was very strangely organized, and I appeared to be one of only maybe four press members actually back there. Mm-hmm. So it was a very strange way to experience the night itself, because the TV would, they turn off the volume when the winners would come back. So I missed sizable chunks of the actual award ceremony. But I mean, it was a surprising mix of winners. I mean, exactly what I said before, they decided to give it to Winter's Bone for best film and for best ensemble, but not to Jennifer Lawrence for the award everyone expected it to win.
Mm-hmm.
And also Tiny Furniture, which was, I mean, it's like unlikely to factor into the awards race beyond the Gothams and the Spirits, but it got snubbed for Breakthrough Director for Holy Rollers by Kevin Ash, which was unexpected, certainly on the level of the Gotham Awards.
Mm-hmm. Everybody looked nice and boozed up on the on the stream, especially Steve Buscemi.
So the whole thing of streaming the Indie Spirit nomination, streaming the Gotham Awards, this is another new kind of approach,
yeah.
Which is interesting.
Which I think we'll see more and more of.
Yeah, absolutely.
But sure. I mean, it's been 2 years of them streaming the, or maybe even three of the Spirit Award nominations, and every morning, sort of that's how I'm getting my list, is I'm going to, you know, watch this, but it cuts out every single year. I end up hearing like just mumbles of Eva Mendes and Jeremy Renner saying this and that, but for the most part,
freeze. It was delayed. Yeah. I ended up getting it off the release, you know?
Yeah, so did I.
Anything else happened at the Gothams of note? I liked Duvall's speech. He seemed to just ramble and ramble, and I loved it.
The tributes were great. I mean, Natalie Portman was fantastic introducing Darren Aronofsky, who gave a great speech. Some of the montage clips were great. I mean, it was actually a fairly well-produced show from what I could tell. And Patricia Clarkson and Stanley Tucci, they made great hosts and had some great chemistry. And I mean, I definitely enjoyed the show itself. I just think that in the long run, the Gothams probably mean very, very little in terms of award season.
Yeah, I liked the Aronofsky tribute. When I was watching that, they only had five films to pull from, but it looks like a career's work, really. I don't know. It's just something that struck me about his filmmaking. He was in town last night for the Fox Searchlight, or the big Fox in general, I guess, holiday party.
Love and Other Drugs was in there, too.
Yeah. Were you over there? I didn't see you there.
Yeah, I made a quickie in and out because the story was breaking about the Ronnie Chasen suspect shooting himself, and mm-hmm. I felt compelled to go home and post this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I just did. I just had to do that.
Right. Yeah, I actually had a concert to get to, so I was there for not very long either, but I did talk to Darren for a little bit. I liked how Natalie Portman kind of busted his balls about the Wolverine at the Gotham Awards. You could tell she was like kind of nudging him a little bit. He's sitting there receiving a tribute at an independent film awards ceremony, but he's the guy that's about to do Wolverine.
Well, you know, he's had such a tough time getting those two last films financed that I think
totally.
he deserves to have a payday, and you know, he's old friends with Hugh Jackman, who starred in The Fountain, and I think mm-hmm. he can, you know, make something of it.
I can't wait to see the film. I'm sure it'll be fun. But yeah, let's see. What else is there? There is True Grit. Peter, have you seen True Grit?
I have not seen True Grit.
Not seen True Grit. And,
but I'm
and you've seen it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I what's interesting, I saw it in New York. I was in New York for a few days, and I actually went to the Black Swan premiere and saw Mr. Aronofsky in action there and talked to Winona Ryder and introduced her to Peter, who was an old fan.
Yes, it was. Thanks for one of the scariest moments of my entire life.
She's scary, actually.
She definitely is a little scary.
She was telling me about how she's not she never goes on the computer. She's a complete Luddite and collects books. This is her hobby. Anyway, the point I was going to make is that I saw True Grit at a screening in New York, and it didn't play that well. A couple of people, including Jeff Wells, that I talked to on the way out, were sort of putting it down, and that influenced my sense of how it was going to be received. But when it hit online and everybody reviewed it, yesterday. It was a very, very, I think except for Steve Pond and Jeff Wells, a very, very upbeat response, including mine. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But I had not assumed that everyone else would.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Fans were a little tougher on it, I would say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting that you had that reaction at that screen on the East Coast screening, because the West Coast screening I was at, certainly everyone that was in my particular screening seemed to like it. I don't know if that's going to be if it's going to break down along those lines, but
there does seem to be a split now where a lot of the studios are showing the online press the movie before they, you know, then right. It's going to have a second round of reviews when it actually comes out at the end of December.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be as upbeat. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
This is the same thing Rudin did with Social Network, too.
Exactly. So,
but yeah, I've spelled out my experience with the film in my review, but I really appreciate it for being so straightforward and so classic and traditional. I was not expecting that at all, and probably convinced myself that I didn't want that at all. But then when I knew what it was, it allowed me to kind of go in and see it again and just kind of... I just dig that kind of a movie's being made by these guys. You know, you'd expect some stylish exercise, and it's really not that.
Well, they allow it to be fairly formal, and the language, especially. That's the question for me. You know, is whether it will. It's so rigorous in some ways, so period in some ways, mm-hmm. So slow that it will, you know, put audiences off. I think the Academy will love it. I think they will go for it, hook, line, and sinker. The writers, the directors, all the craft guilds.
Yeah.
Too bad about Carter Burwell, you know, because it's such a beautiful, lovely score.
That's not official yet, by the way.
I know. I amended my my thing.
But I was curious about that because it's
based on hymns.
The original material that is present is still very good, I think. So he year in and year out can't get arrested by the Academy.
But Deakins could get in this time because he's not competing with anyone.
Yeah, I think he's going to finally win. I mean, it's the movie that's. Got the vistas and kind of the sprawling postcard look, even if it's not particularly, it's not like Assassination of Jesse James interesting as far as the way it's framed.
It's very John Ford. It's very classical.
Yeah.
With a hint of Anthony Mann.
Totally.
And I do love that scene, you know, where Matt Damon is introduced, you know, sitting on the porch with his legs up on the rail, just
mm-hmm.
like Henry Fonda,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, from the when he played Wyatt Earp in My Darling Clementine.
Yeah, that's it exactly. It's Anthony Mann, it's John Ford, it's a little bit of Bud Bedeker too, I think. It's just the influences are there.
Yeah, I think it's the tall. I mean, there's a wonderful sequence. Barry Pepper's very good, where they're all fighting on top of a bluff that looks a whole lot like one famous sequence in an Anthony Mann film. And I'm trying to remember
Winchester 73. I think you're thinking of
maybe.
Either that or the Naked Spur. They both seem to have.
I
think it's Naked Spur
it,
that has that scene, actually.
I'm going to figure it out. I'll figure it out because it's a famous fight scene.
Yeah. Bridges is, he just killed it. I think if he hadn't won last year, he would walk away with the Oscar this year.
Agreed.
And I sort of anxiously was waiting for, you know, various reactions, including both yours. And you said, Chris, that you predicted Haley Stanfield, that she'll win.
Yeah, I don't know who else would win the supporting actress category, honestly. I mean, it's you know, a whim and a prayer. I'm not stating anything. I'm just, if I were to take a stab at it, who else is going to win Best Supporting Actress this year?
No, I know. I mean, it was just a stab, but I also am completely confused about that category. You know, you could make maybe the argument for one of the fighter women, but I don't think that necessarily is going to happen.
They're going to get both Amy Adams and Melissa Leo in there.
Sure. We've talked about that. I think they could. But, you know, what do you think, Anne? Who do you think would be a front runner to win that race if you were to take a stab at it?
I don't see a... I mean, Diane Wiest, probably.
Yeah, someone else said that to
me,
but...
Honestly, I
but
think
three?
That's...
Exactly. That would be her third Oscars.
I just think that's a little bit too much for her,
I don't
frankly.
Think they think that way. I know we think that way. It's very easy to think that they're going to analyze it the same way. They're going to vote for the best performance of the year. Honestly, I mean,
well, if that's the case, then it's Haley Steinfeld
having just won. But Jackie Weaver just got a leg up,
yeah.
And I don't think Helena Bonham Carter wins, for sure.
Yeah, that's the only other one that I would say maybe that, but it just feels so wrong.
She's coming in on the coattails to be nominated. I don't think she'll win. I thought Miranda Richardson was strong, but
so did I.
That's just not happening.
That's true.
I feel nothing.
It just within a matter of 2 weeks, the buzz for that film sort of went from something to basically nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas Another Year is moving up, it's getting a lift, you know, from Leslie Manville's National Board of Review and so on. So it's going to, I think Another Year will continue, I think, to build. And it's true. These movies need to have a presence. They need to have, what it really is about is what makes the Academy voter watch the DVD, you know, and that's what has to happen.
Well, to me,
the girl will get nominated probably. I can't say now until the movie opens whether she'll win, honestly.
Sure. Well, fair enough. I mean, to me, if you're saying the Academy votes for the best performance, I thought she was outstanding. And I think she deserves a lead nomination, frankly. So.
Well, they shouldn't do that.
Why?
Because it's such a crowded category.
Well, yeah.
Best actress. They're better off in this weak category that you're describing.
Well, they're kind of taken... they're taking an opportunity that Sony Classics has ignored with Leslie Manville. But then today she gets the win for lead with the NBR, or the National Board of Review. So what do I know? But
I think the front runners for Best Actress remain the same. And Diane Lane is not happening. I have to give that up, I think.
No, I think that race is slowly narrowing. And there's really, at this point, as far as I'm concerned, 6, 7, maybe 8 people that I feel... could make it, and 2 that seem like they could win.
Well, you know, what do you think Michelle Williams could get in?
I think she could, yes, but I think right now she's on the
Blue Valentine. She needs help. Valentine needs help.
What's going on with that? The Indie Spirits just completely disregarded that film.
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. And for film like Greenberg gets Best Picture, but Rabbit Hole and Blue Valentine, both films that, you know, really needed it and could have gotten a boost into the rest of award season, they weren't there. So it's very mind-boggling.
And yet Rabbit Hole was, you know, Best Director, Best Actress, Best Actor, Best Screenplay. Not Best Picture, though.
And not Diane Wiest.
And not Diane Wiest, yeah. So, really strange.
Remember, if we're talking Oscars, those omissions are not significant. It's just movies that need help need to get every bit of help they can get.
I'm not talking about Oscars. I'm just talking about...
But Blue Valentine, what's so weird about that is that it plays so well. People like it. So we shouldn't forget that actors are bound to respond to that film. And and that gives it strength. But they still need to... I bet Michelle Williams is ahead of, at this point, Sally Hawkins and Diane Lane, I would say.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I'd say she's 6th after Portman, Benning, Lawrence, Kidman, and Manville.
Right.
My opinion.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Right.
Manville's still a possibility because they will check out Mike Lee. They always do. You know,
and she
lead actresses almost always get in. Sally Hawkins was sort of an exception, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the people we clearly did not mention in the lead actress field is Anne Hathaway.
No way.
Who is tapped as one of the Oscar hosts with James Franco this week.
Yes, and the fact that Franco is in fact going to... Well, here's the thing, you know? 127 Hours is not doing that well right now. They've had to pull it back in release because it was not playing broadly yet. They still are trying to get people to come, and they need the Oscars and the awards attention to sort of force it into being a must-see so that it will overcome... everyone's reluctance to be freaked out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Franco, I'm wondering, is he a sure thing?
Yeah, I think he's a sure
thing.
I think if anything from the movie is, I think it's him.
Well, then it is very strange that he's going to be the Oscar host.
I don't like it.
No, I don't either.
I mean,
it seems very, very random to me. I just don't really understand what was going on in that room when they decided that this would be a good idea.
I'm going to suggest to you, though, that Franco is not as much of a sure thing for Best Actor.
Anne is on the record.
I have a feeling. I'm just my gut instincts are telling me that 127 Hours is not as strong as we once thought.
It's slowed down on my 10, but I think he's fine. I don't know who else would take, you know.
I think The Town is coming up.
Totally. That's in
but
there.
But not in Best Actor.
No,
I mean, but someone did ask about that this week. It's not one of the questions
I'm talking about the top 10 now. I've moved over
to the top 10.
Yeah, you got
to
keep up with us, Peter. We kind of
I'm new to this. I'm sorry.
Pre-association with me. Are us. Yeah.
Someone did ask this week about why isn't Ben Affleck getting enough of a fair shake in, as far as his acting in the film is concerned, because it's one of his best performances, and that's true.
It has to do with how people see him.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain that, except that I am feeling that the gravitas that is brought to him by being a director is helping him, but he isn't there yet, because he gave a good performance in Company Men also.
Yes, he did. Yes. I really like that movie.
Me too. I liked it a lot, but I don't.
At Sundance, yeah. I mean, it's actually been a while. I keep forgetting that film is even still coming out in December. But
I don't know why they waited that long.
No, and then moved it at the last second from October.
Oh, really?
I think that was a mistake, because I think the movie's going to get completely and utterly lost.
Yeah.
In the shuffle. But all I'm saying is that he is good, but I mean, he's not going to get noticed. But Jeremy Renner might.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he could. But back to the hosts. If I were to guess, I guess they're trying to pull this is the new Hollywood thing.
No, they're just trying to get younger demo.
And they're trying to get a younger demo.
It's the ABC, you know, all of these decisions that they've been making are about that telecast, which sort of makes me angry, because I don't think that's the be all and end all. I think they should be preserving the class and the distinction of the organization, and the show should represent the organization and the community. I don't think it should be all about ratings.
And I can't help but ask, is it really such a bad thing if that show isn't highly rated? Are they going to be out anything, really, at the end of the day? I mean,
that's part of what I'm trying to say. But ABC is putting pressure on the Academy, and that's what, you know, how the Academy's responding. Now, that said, I actually think that Hathaway and Franco might be very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know she'll be fine, and I love him to death. This is an odd kind of gig for him.
Fearless. He's one of these people who just seems to say, okay, I'll try it.
Right.
Why not?
Right.
You know, without any concern for his... I don't think the folks at Fox Searchlight are very happy about this, to tell you the truth.
Oh, really?
No. They need him to be dignified and serious and, you know, this is a great performance. That's not what this is about.
I like them both a lot, and I think that it could very well be fine, but I just feel like they have so much to lose and so little to gain by taking something like this on. And on a different note, with the ratings, I don't think bringing in a younger audience, I don't think Anne Hathaway and James Franco are the people that are going to do that. I mean, if you look at – they're not names that can draw in box office revenues. I mean, they're more specialized actors. I just – they're not these huge names that I think maybe the people at ABC think they are, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if it's – again, like I said, I don't really know what there is, what they would be out if the show isn't highly rated, and if the fear is ABC would not want to air the show anymore. Well, you know, we were just talking about how more and more people are streaming these things. Maybe the Academy should just step up and say, we're going to stream the Academy Awards.
Ha!
Yeah,
they're
I know.
Make a lot of money on this show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. About. What's the point? Like, how much money are they really losing? I don't know.
It's a lot of money. It's all over the world. It's the whole thing. Yeah, that is why there are high stakes, and that's why these decisions matter. I don't think it's terrible that they're giving up on this sort of older white male comedian. You know, that doesn't bother me. To have a movie star do it, Hugh Jackman worked fine.
I like Hugh Jackman. I don't really like the tandem hosting. I kind of like one MC.
So do I. And they're not all, I mean, Ellen, Chris Rock, I mean, they've had variety, Whoopi. I like the idea of the sort of traditional, a really, really great comic or comedian comes in there, gives a killer monologue, pops up every once in a while for some great observational humor, and that's it. And they just sort of guide us through with the funny. And I don't know what kind of song and dance they're going to put on with Anne and James. I just am nervous that the innovation is going to lead to something that's going to seem, I don't know, insincere or forced or something. I'm a little worried.
Yeah. Well,
it's a risk, that's for sure. And presumably a lot of other people turned it down before they were forced to take this risk, including Hugh Jackman and, I understand, Tina Fey.
Oh, they went to Tina Fey, huh?
Well, not confirmed, but that's the word.
And I've also heard that that's been a couple years in a row that they've tried to get her to do that, and she just, apparently is too busy with her schedule at 30 Rock. It's just not really something that she can take on, which, I mean, that
makes
seems understandable.
Perfect sense. Yeah. Yes.
And I wouldn't, I mean, that there's something to me about having a TV personality host the award show meant to honor the best in film. It's just, it kind of rings false to me. So I don't think I'd be a fan of that.
Well, when they go to the talk show hosts, it doesn't always work. Johnny Carson worked for a long time, but
yeah,
the other ones haven't so well.
Bob Hope.
It was him for years.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal was fine,
yeah,
you know.
I've always thought Kevin Spacey would be interesting.
Yeah,
he
can
do
not,
it. I don't like him that much as a. I don't know how to explain it. There's something fake about him.
There's something fake about Oscar hosts, to be perfectly honest. All right, well, go ahead, Peter.
Oh, no, I was just going to basically say that all said, it could have been a lot more boring, their decision. I mean, this is not a boring decision
yeah.
at
not
all.
At all.
So that's
I'm curious.
I'll give them that, and I am curious for sure.
We're talking about it, clearly. So
yeah.
Let's go to a couple of reader questions, and we'll wrap it up. Let's see. Nelson says, and this is something I've been actually thinking about lately. Nelson wants to know, if there were still only 5 Best Picture nominees, what would the 5 films be? It would obviously be a different scheme because the voting procedure would be different. So the top 5 of the 10 would not be the top 5 of 5. So it's interesting to kind of wonder about what those films would be. What do you guys think?
Well, you could look at the directors and do it that way. That kind of
right.
narrows it down.
It does, but I think it'd be really murky at this point if there were only 5. I mean, I think beyond
Speech, Social Network.
But beyond that, I think it'd be hard to really nail down 3 more.
If I were to guess, I'd say King's Speech, Social Network, True Grit. I think
True Grit's lower down the list.
I honestly
at
think
this
the,
stage.
I honestly think The Kids Are All Right would be in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it would, and that would be the lone director would go from Lisa to Darren Aronofsky.
Or the like, yeah, or like Nolan, because I don't think Inception would be in 5. What else? There was another. Oh, I kind of think The Fighter would be in 5, honestly, but I don't know.
I don't think Russell will. I don't think he'll get nominated.
Yeah, you've said.
I've made that clear, right? No, I mean you could have someone like Mike Lee in there and not be in the top 5. You know, there's all sorts of weird ways that could get. They're a different group.
Yeah. Danny King wants to know, after reading the general reactions to The Fighter and The King's Speech, as well as your write-up of True Grit, it appears that the Oscar race this year is involving more populist-type cinema. Do you think this is because of the 10 Best Picture nominees, or just because filmmakers such as the Coens may feel at some point in their career that they just want to step back and create a more simple, popular piece of art? This is interesting to me, because something I've noticed, and I've been just kind of turning in my head as fodder for a column or something, is that films like The Town, The King's Speech, and now True Grit, it's very simple, good stories, well told, no frills, and it seems to be something of kind of a mini trend going on this year, I guess. But it's interesting to look at that against, like juxtaposed with films like Inception, that are such in 127 the way that's filmed as well, such
or Social
progressive
Network.
Yeah, such progressive pieces of narrative, but I don't
well,
know.
Well, the thing about True Grit is that I'm not sure populist describes it. Secretariat is populist. Blindside is populist.
Why would you say True Grit's not populist?
I would say that it's more of an art film. I would.
I don't think that. I would.
It's very formal. It's very arch. It's using archaic language. It's a simple story, well told, but it's told in a very sophisticated way.
I feel like the instinct is to consider it an art film because you don't see that often. But, you know, it's to have so much in common with Ford and Mann, to me it's...
Classic is what it is, not so much... populist.
We might be defining populist differently, I guess. I mean, it's
populist is something aimed at. I mean, I hope it works on a popular level. I really do. I underestimated the size of the audience that was going to respond to Inglourious Basterds,
right,
for example, which is a very smart movie, and so is True Grit. It's a very smart, intelligent movie.
Uh huh.
It's not pandering to the to the masses, exactly.
Yes and no, I guess. It's in a Coen way, I feel like it is, if that makes any sense.
For the Coens, yes.
Yeah.
And No Country worked, you know, obviously. And Fargo worked on a fairly mm-hmm. big scale for them.
Well, I'm curious, because you guys have both seen it, do you think it's going to make any money?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I mean, it's opening wide and big. Movie. Yeah, it's opening wide, and it's not. So it's in around Christmas. So
one could imagine family audiences going to see it.
It's in the best. Yeah, true. I mean, it's in
PG-13.
Yeah, it's in the best possible position to make money. I don't know if it will.
That's true.
So, somebody named I wrote this question down. We've already addressed it, but I thought it was funny that this person's name was Derek, D-E-R-E-K, wanted to know what's going on with Blue Valentine. the movie was largely snubbed by the Spirit Awards. Michelle Williams got the single nod. Anyway, we've talked about that. Last question here. I probably normally wouldn't bring this up, but since we've got Peter here, this could be interesting, and it's very broad. How did you find yourself in the blogosphere? How did you get your start? Go ahead, Peter.
Oh, you want to start with me?
Yeah, start with you.
I mean, it was kind of random. I was IndieWire's intern during a Toronto Film Festival, and it just sort of, I one day asked him if I could start a blog, and I'd had a sort of really geeky awards blog on Blogspot for years that I'm sure no one ever read, and had always sort of had that awards geeking me via, like, you know, Entertainment Weekly subscriptions when I was 8, and you know, one thing led to another, and then it sort of built up from there, and it just, yeah.
Anne's got a good story.
Check out The Lost Boy. That's the name yes. of Peter's IndieWire blog. The Lost blog.
Boy. Yes, that's going to have to change soon as I approach 30.
Well, my, you know, I've worked at all sorts of different levels of you know, the film world, from Film Comment to Premiere to EW to the trades. And when I was at the Hollywood Reporter, I started their first blog called Risky Business. And or the Risky Biz blog, because I had a column called Risky Business. Mm-hmm. And when I was wooed to go to Variety, I had to leave that one behind and start a new one. So I put my name in it so I'd be able to keep it. And that's how, when I left Variety, I was able to take Thompson on Hollywood with me to IndieWire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a turtle carrying its house on its back. I can move around.
Well, when I rename The Lost Boy, I should keep that in mind.
the Lost Connect.
Yeah, no one's gonna try and steal that.
Yeah, for me, I was in college. I had some friends who liked to predict the Oscars. It was like 2000, and I decided to try to start a website and just kind of fool around, blow off some steam, and maybe learn some things about the internet at the same time. And it was film school at the time, so it was a way to keep talking about movies. And none of what I do now was in the cards or by design. I mean, it just was, everything snowballed. When I got out here, somebody wanted to pay me to do it, so I wrote a column for a while and then ventured out on my own and brokered ad sales on my own and just, you know, one foot in front of the other, really. It's kind of a entirely unplanned scenario. But, you know.
But it should be noted that you were and are a trained journalist. You are not.
Yeah.
You know, some guy, you know, who's a fan, you know, you actually went, you have a degree.
I do. I went to the USC Journalism School in 2008 to get a master's.
And I myself never studied journalism at all. I studied film at NYU. So there it is.
When did you graduate?
I'm not going to say.
were you with, was anybody in your class that was, went on to be?
I'm of the same generation as you know, I mean, the filmmakers that were around my time were Spike Lee and, uh-huh. and the Coen brothers, you know, people like that.
Were you passing guys like that in the halls?
I don't remember them.
Oh, you don't remember, huh? What were you doing?
I didn't know. I wasn't in production. I was in cinema studies. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was my undergrad as well.
Interesting.
But it works either way. I mean, I think both, you could make the argument make sense as to why they'd put you on this path.
Yeah.
And then my first Oscar experience was at Film Comment, where I was, you know, when I would work on the Oscar predicts column there. And that, you know, in the old days of print, you had to advance, you had to put these things up, you know, way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't immediate like it is in this medium.
Yeah.
You had to figure it out ahead of time.
Yep. who knows how it will change further from here. All right, well...
can't get much faster than this.
Yeah, I know, right?
I hope not.
It can't.
It's just going to be intuitive. Well, before long. We just know in our minds, oh, the National Board of Review list just came out. It's in my brain now. The singularity. All right,
sounds
guys.
Sounds like less work, at least.
Oh, and before we go here, I just wanted to just quickly remind everybody of the announcement we made last week. Anne and I will be revealing our top 10 lists on Oscar Talk next week, December 10th. So mark your calendars and come on back for that. Well, it was nice talking. Thanks for joining us, Peter. And,
no problem.
I'll talk to you next weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I've wept for those who suffer long, but how I weep for those who've gone. In rooms of grief and questioned wrong, but keep on killing. It's in the soul to feel such things, but weak to watch without speaking. Oh, what mercy sadness brings, if God be willing.